You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Feb 8, 2022, we are live streaming at Larry Connors, USA YouTube channel. So you can watch the broadcast as well as listen to it. Larry Connors, USA YouTube channel. You can subscribe and get it sent direct to your email. And the same thing with our podcast. No cost. Glad to be of service to you and our country. So you heard the network news point out that the French President Macron visiting his Ukrainian counterpart, and then it also then met with the Kremlin, supposedly, and that after a five-hour meeting with Vladimir Putin just yesterday, he's saying that I think we have points of convergence. Well, it didn't take long for the Putin administration to pour cold water on that idea. Say, we don't have anything agreed upon. What are you doing? Well, it's the French. So he's trying to serve as the mediator and bring everybody together. And he's already pissed off Putin by coming out and saying, we think we've got things coming together. What is happening? Well, the Russian-Ukraine area, Russian warships heading for the Black Sea for naval drills that is. Troops still gathered on the northern and eastern edges of Ukraine. Biden continuing to insist, if you go in there, we're going to punish you. We're going to take a wet noodle and we will beat you with it. We will shut down the Nord Stream pipeline. This is after Biden, of course, earlier this last year, removed sanctions so they could go ahead and build it. And it is complete. It's just going through some final tests and certification. And Germany is saying nothing. They're not sending any arms to help Ukraine. They'll help in other ways, and they say they'll support sanctions. The German chancellor meeting with Biden yesterday, when Biden continues to puff and blow and huff, I am commander-in-chief, and we will shut down that pipeline. How you plan to do that? Yeah, let's don't get into detail. Let's just buy the story for right now. In the meantime, Congressman Matt Rosendale, Republican of Montana, introducing legislation that would block security and military assistance to Ukraine until we secure our southern border. He said, you want to help the Ukrainian border? Great. First, secure our southern border. I love it. In the meantime, Capitol Police, according to a letter sent by Republican leadership, are investigating and monitoring lawmakers. And that would be specifically Republican lawmakers. Because Nancy Pelosi has said she sent it. She received it direct from these Republicans. Saying, you got Capitol Police, and Nancy, you're in charge of them. They seem to be surveilling members of Congress and their visitors. Pointing out we do not want to make this look like an abuse and violation of American civil liberty rights, and at the same time, you're making us look like we're under a dictatorship. And one Republican said, with Nancy, it would be. Meanwhile, to the north, in Canada, Prime Minister Trudeau, he had been missing in all this action, finally did make a quick appearance last night in emergency session in Parliament after there were numerous reports that he was missing in action. I was talking about that in the last hour. I had failed to mention that he did make an appearance last night. My bad. I do apologize. But Trudeau said this pandemic has sucked for all Canadians, but this conspiracy theorists and those wearing tinfoil hats need to stop. He's talking about the truckers. L.A. County is going to retain its indoor mask mandate past the 15th of this month, even though Governor Newsom said that will end statewide. So the restrictions continue. The beatings will continue until we put a stop to them. VP Harris no longer going to have separate meetings with world leaders. She wants to explore a reset of her role in Joe Biden's administration. But don't call it a reset. Just saying, I'm taking on new challenges. You haven't solved the ones we gave you, such as the border. That was your J-O-B. Oh, I see. Put it in the rearview mirror. Forget about it.
Larry Connors, USA. News and commentary.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
She wouldn't support my bill, calling for a boycott, nor would she support my bill saying, you know what, if you're gonna sell products made with modern day slave labor that we know is also building up the Chinese military, then you shouldn't be able to sell to the Defense Department. None of those you would support. And the thing is, she's always been pretty tough historically about Tibet. She met with the Dalai Lama. She was tough, but she switched a few years ago, and coincidentally, it was about the time that her husband became heavily involved financially in Chinese investments and in Chinese firms. And look, like, this is how the Chinese Communist Party operates. They co-opt people.
They do co-opt people. Coinky dinky, her attitude, Nancy Pelosi's attitude changed, and being harsh with the Chinese after her husband started getting some very lucrative deals with the Chinese. Just coinky dinky. That's Congressman Michael Waltz, Republican of Florida, appearing on the Guy Benson program. And what he points out is so evident. See, they like to rewrite history. And I guess they also think we will forget past history. We don't. You can go ahead and tear down all the statues you want. We will not forget the history. And we should not. You need to accept that was then, this is now, but we are changing and hopefully for the better. But Nancy Pelosi is changing because of, follow the Benjamins. It's always follow the Benjamins. For the same thing that the Black Lives Matter group leader, who's all about standing up for Black Lives Matter and the folks around Black Lives Matter, and if you didn't support them, you were not really, well, let me put it this way. There's no other word for you but being a racist and a bigot. Two words. But once she got her money, I'm out of here. Like, George, like George. Hey, that is my best joke. I'm out of here. I'm taking my money. I bought my homes. I'm not coming back. It's all on you now. Although now she's trying to see if I can parlay it into something for Warner Brothers. Follow the Benjamins. And with Pelosi, the same thing. And there's another storyline we're going to get to. I have not forgotten, and I know you haven't either. I can hear you out there. I hear you yelling, Biden, what about Hunter? I'm going to get there. Give me a moment, please. If you're watching live right now, you can see I'm almost down on my knees begging. Give me a little bit more time. By the way, if you're watching live at Larry Connors USA YouTube, Larry Connors USA YouTube live streaming, I ask again, how do you like this tuxedo I'm wearing today? I think it's a pretty sharp looking tuxedo. You didn't know I dressed up for this program, did you? So, Pelosi changing her mind and attitude over a period of time and over a period of financial transactions. And do you remember what she told our Olympians before they left to go compete in the Olympics in Beijing? She issued basically a warning to our players. Listen to this.
You're there to compete. Do not risk incurring the anger of the Chinese government because they are ruthless. I know there is a temptation on the part of some to speak out while they are there. I respect that, but I also worry about what the Chinese government might do.
Well, that was pretty strong, wasn't it? And she maybe, I wonder how her husband took that with those remarks. I'll tell you how the White House took it. After Pelosi issued that direct warning, do not use this as a platform to speak out about genocide and the other things the Chinese are doing. Oh, you can use the platform, your Olympian platform, to speak out for Black Lives Matter, defund police. You can do all that stuff. We don't care if you do that. And if you go over there and, you know, hold yourself up, say, America is a terrible country. But I'm glad to be here in Beijing representing not my country so much, but really me. You can do all that, but don't do your platform speech or anything otherwise. And don't dare be waving a Taiwan flag. So after she made those statements, keep in mind the U.S. had enacted, quote, a diplomatic boycott of the games. Diplomatic just meant we're not going to send any diplomats. We have. We ended up doing it. We ended up doing it anyway. And the IOC, in response to public pressure in advance of the Beijing Games, the IOC, International Olympic Committee, updated Rule 50 guidelines to allow for activism in interviews on social media or at Olympian venues prior to the start of competition. Demonstrations during competitions and medal ceremonies remain forbidden. The IOC notes that any form of activism or protest must comply with applicable laws such as those of the host nation. And speaking the truth, that does not fit in China. But despite Nancy issuing this dire warning, immediately the White House fired back against her, basically. Jen Psaki said, listen, the Biden administration is fully in support of our players protesting at the Winter Olympics. She said, we want to make sure that all players have a right to freely express themselves, and that's the case in Beijing at the Olympics. But if they do, they're doing it as individuals. They don't represent the U.S. at that point. You talk about walking around the edge. Well, that's the Biden White House all over again. All right. You got this in play. The Winter Games now being hosted in the Chinese capital. They're the first to be hosted there. It did host the 2008 Summer Games. So now the first city to host both a winter and summer games. And while the Biden administration said we're not going to send any official representatives, that will be our way of boycotting, a diplomatic boycott. We have apparently sent some over. I don't know how they're redefining it. I could care less. They're lying anyway. It won't make any difference how they want to explain it. But we also have this other issue. You heard Congressman Waltz a moment ago say that the attitude of Pelosi had been to really speak out against the Chinese, be tough with them and Tibet, so forth, until her husband started bringing some money in with lucrative deals with Chinese companies, which are always, always Chinese communist controlled. So then let's move to the Hunter Biden story now. Hunter Biden was doing deals with China while Daddy was a VP. How'd he get access to him? Well, because Daddy's a VP. Otherwise, Hunter who? No, I have no interest in talking to him. And then we have Russia. And, of course, again, Daddy being VP. So Senator Grassley the other day stood on the floor of the Senate and said, you can talk all you want about corruption in the Trump administration and demonstrations that you claimed were an insurgency and an attempt to overthrow the government. But here's what we really want some answers, and we want them now.
Our letters have provided Attorney General Garland the opportunity to hit the ball right out of the park. Instead, he doesn't even try to make a swing. What's the Biden Justice Department hiding? This blatantly inconsistent treatment has cast a cloud over Hunter Biden's criminal case. Just imagine if this fact pattern had involved between President Trump and his sons. The media would have gone nuts over it. You wouldn't hear the end of it. Also from my Democratic colleagues here in the Senate. Yet, not a sound from them. Not a peep. The American people are rightly skeptical of how the Justice Department is handling the Hunter Biden criminal investigation.
And, in fact, they're not handling it at all. Now, Senator Grassley was making those remarks last Wednesday on the floor of the Senate. Grassley, Republican, Iowa, slamming the DOJ for not answering previous questions it submitted regarding the Hunter Biden probe. They sent out numerous letters, and that's why he was pointing out our letters have given you the opportunity, A.G. Merrick Garland, to hit the ball right out of the ballpark and prove that, no, we are keeping you informed and there's nothing wrong with what's going on between Hunter Biden in the past and are now, and there's no compromising the presidency because of what the kid did while Daddy was VP and now president. But he said, you haven't even tried. You haven't even tried, and Americans demand an answer. The same thing we demand right now with Pelosi and other politicians, Republican or Democrat, I don't care. You got linkage to communist nations. You got linkage to nations that could basically compromise you and our national security. There's some explaining needed. So let's go back to Congressman Waltz of Florida. And his remarks about Nancy Pelosi, how tough she used to be, and it is past tense, and where she stands now.
This is how the Chinese Communist Party operates. They co-opt people. She was Speaker of the House in 2006. It's no surprise that in 2008, 2010, her husband starts getting these business opportunities over there in China. They co-opt people. They soften their resolve. They silence them. And before you know it, you're on the take. And we're seeing that in corporate America and academia and the sports world and in our politics as well.
Yeah, we are in our politics as well. And why is that? Well, you know the answer. This is the thing that why so many Americans lose faith in their government, be you Democrat or Republican. They're sent up there to do a JLB. Now, they're going to do it in a number of ways. I don't have a journalism degree. I should confess that to you if you thought I did. I don't. I do have a BS degree. Well, that you knew. You knew I use BS a lot. I mean, I am from Texas, so I have a BS degree. But I actually do have a BS degree in political science. And there was a really interesting division as to what elected representatives should be doing. Should they be voting on something one way because they know that's what their constituents want? Or should they be voting on what they, as the elected official, believe is really best, even if the constituents would be opposed? Of course, it's political suicide. But if you really think that voting and supporting a particular item is wrong for the country and even wrong for your state and your area, then you're going to have to make a decision. I'm going to vote that what I really believe is best. This came up the other day with Murkowski in Alaska, saying, when I vote, I'm not voting for what's best for the nation. I'm voting for what's best for Alaskans. Well, on one hand, that's understandable. It could be criticized, but it's also understandable. I would not expect the representative from Alabama to have the same views about some things that might affect Alabama versus what might affect Alaska. That's understandable. But we have too many politicians who go up and they're not just voting a conscience. They're not trying to make a decision based on what they really think. They are bought off and paid out. And sometimes if it's a political suicide situation, they know they may be able to fall back into a cushy job with a particular company or corporation that might be part of a bill that's under consideration. That's not true of all of them, but it's enough to always make us question, doesn't it? Take a break. I want to come back. Before we wrap up the hour, I'm going to tell you about Sergeant Gantz, who fought at the World War II Battle of the Bulge, an amazing story, and another American hero. But also then you got this actress who says, I had an abortion, no big deal, all good, except for the baby.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Couple of quick stories for you. There's a new poll by Rasmussen showing that 63% of Americans believe the country needs stricter enforcement of existing gun laws. Count me among that. The laws that we have on the books now, except in states where they are trying to take away your Second Amendment rights, yeah, let's enforce those to make it tougher. So when you catch a felon with a gun, it's a high penalty. And don't suddenly say, oh, well, you know, let's give a slap on the wrist. Then also, Congressman Mauser, a Republican of Pennsylvania, says Joe Biden needs to be required to disclose his dead of the night secret flights of border crossers and illegal aliens into American communities. I agree wholeheartedly. The DHS have been facilitating where they pick up the illegals coming across, put them on buses or domestic commercial flights, funded with taxpayer dollars, and send them anywhere in the nation they want to go. You're free to roam about the country. You don't need no stinking ID. You don't need to be tested for COVID. You don't need to have a vaccine. You're free to go because you're an illegal. Isn't this a great country or what? And then we have this story. You watch AT&T commercials. You see a lady in there named Lily. You know, rather common looking, not striking or anything. It's just so they got somebody they thought would represent someone common, which is a comedian actress, Van Trube or something like that. She just put out an essay in advance. She did it for the Daily Beast in advance of maybe the Supreme Court ruling coming shortly versus on Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health, a Mississippi law that bans abortions over 15 weeks of pregnancy, after 15 weeks of pregnancy. And that could result in the overturn of the 73 Roe v. Wade case if the Supreme Court upholds the Mississippi law. Van Trub, or whatever her name is the latest Hollywood figure to pressure the court into upholding abortion. CBS's Stephen Colbert. I don't think he's a woman, is he? I don't think so, but he's got an opinion. Whoopi Goldberg, yeah, she's got an opinion. Elizabeth Banks, Alyssa Milano. Well, she said, I describe a woman, all of us with a uterus. Well, that's going to upset some transsexuals, I'm telling you. You just crossed the line with that remark. And she describes abortions as a form of essential health care. Health care for whom? Not the baby. And she says, I've experienced a full-term pregnancy. I've given birth. I find myself thinking about how imprisoning it'd be to go through this if I didn't choose it. And she said, all of us with a uterus may be soon stripped of the constitutional right to an abortion. And then she points out, I had an abortion. She said, I'm grateful for the beautiful, boring adoption I had and the essential health care I received. It was no big deal. Just because you could get it, and you did. Well, let me take you back. I was reading through 1 Corinthians last night, and Paul talking about just because something is permissive doesn't mean it's beneficial. Roe v. Wade makes the abortions permissive at this point, but it's not beneficial to the country, nor certainly that unborn baby. 50 million abortions performed between 1973 and 2011. 50 million. That's just 2011. And most of them against women of color, hurting the minority community. And here's this actress just saying, no, it's a boring, no big deal, terminate the child. She didn't call it a child, but to terminate the pregnancy. Just happy times are here again. If her mother had chosen to abort, we wouldn't be hearing from her, would we? That should tell you everything. Coming up, we're going to begin the next segment with a piece about a most decorated soldier who passed away some time ago, but also about a Staff Sergeant Gans who recently passed away. Stand by.
LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Ackerman Toyota has the perfect new or pre-owned car for you, but Jay Ackerman also has a mission to help charities that make a difference. Ackerman Toyota supports food banks, veterans groups, head injury victims, charities battling cancer. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Ooh, they're red, white, and blue. And when the band plays, hail to the chief. Ooh, they point the cannon at you. Y'all. It ain't me. It ain't me. I ain't no Senator Sons.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Robert Howard might have been the toughest American alive while he was among us. Bob was the only man ever to be nominated for the Medal of Honor three times for three separate acts of staggering heroism in combat. but you can only receive one Medal of Honor per lifetime. And so that's what he got in 1971 from President Nixon. That's not all he got, though. He received eight Purple Hearts, eight of them. There were silver stars, four bronze stars, two Distinguished Service Crosses. It's believed Bob Howard was the most heavily decorated American veteran of the modern era, period. He was a proud product of Alabama, and he let you know it. He was a Green Beret, Special Forces. While technically he fought in the Vietnam War, he fought in Laos and Cambodia and all kinds of other places where we were once told U.S. forces weren't fighting at the time. In one 54-month period, he was wounded 14 times. He served five tours of duty in Vietnam, and in recent years he loved his trips to Iraq and Afghanistan to visit the men and women in uniform and in the fight there. Bob had two master's degrees, but for the most part he was a soldier with only one employer. When he retired from service back in 2006, as a full colonel, he'd been an employee of the U.S. government in all for 50 years. That old expression, they don't make them like him anymore, well, they don't. Bob Howard died today. He was 70 years old. Cancer did what the enemy never could do. It got him and brought him down. He leaves behind three children, several grandchildren, a lot of us who were proud to be his friend. In addition, Bob Howard leaves behind a grateful nation.
Then is a report from NBC News with Brian Williams back in 2009, recounting the story of Robert Lewis Howard, born 1939, and then died 2009 at age of 70 in Waco, Texas, now buried at Arlington National Cemetery. As you heard, he is considered probably the most highly decorated officer of Vietnam, U.S. Special Forces Medal of Honor recipient of the Vietnam War. I want to recount again what Williams is saying about what he did for this country. Wounded 14 times over 54 months of combat, got the Medal of Honor. As you heard, you can only get one of those, so he only got one, certainly deserving more. Eight Purple Hearts, a Distinguished Service Cross, a Silver Star, four Bronze Stars, and was nominated for the Medal of Honor three times over that 13-month period, but then got the lesser medals because you could only get the Medal of Honor once. Pardon me. He was awarded the Medal of Honor for his actions December 30, 1968. That was his third nomination. He was Staff Sergeant with the Military Assist Command Vietnam, rescue missions in Cambodia. I told you he got wounded repeatedly. Excuse me. I told you he got wounded numerous times. Well, he learned about the award that he was getting, the Medal of Honor, while he was under enemy fire. One of the other troops radioed it. That's what was going on. Just imagine that. You're in enemy fire, and you get a report that you're getting a Medal of Honor for previous actions. Against that backdrop, I want to take you to the story of another American. Many of you may or may not know the story of the Battle of the Bulge. You might have heard about it, but you don't know that much about it. It was an offensive campaign on the Western Front during World War II from the 16th of December, 1944, to the 25th of January, 1945, in the Ardennes region between Belgium and Luxembourg. Near the end of the war, the Germans were trying to stop the Allies from using a Belgium port and to split the Allied lines. That's why they called it a bulge, trying to push them back. It remains one of the most important battles, by the way, of the war and the last major offensive attempt on the Western Front. It started with the Germans carrying out a total surprise attack on the morning of 16th of December. Allied leaders were overconfident, apparently, preoccupied with other plans, and they were getting bad aerial reconnaissance. The weather was bad. I mean, it's in that part of the world where December gets damn cold and miserable, trying to just walk in it and live in it, much less fight and battle for your life in it. So the Germans attacked a weakly defended section of the Allied line, taking advantage of all that. And then soon we threw more forces back at them. But it went on, like I say, from January, or from December 16 to January 25. What have you done over the last, maybe 31 days or something like that? What have you been doing? These young men were out in that field dealing with the enemy on both sides. When it was over, the number of those Americans killed, wounded, missing, captured, 89,000. German losses anywhere from 63,000 to 98,000. Among those who took part and survived was a St. Louisan, known as Eugene Gans, although at that time a sergeant in the Army. Gans was born April 1923. This Battle of the Bulge took place December 1944. He's a 21-year-old in the middle of this Battle of the Bulge, one of the last major offensives, and he survived. He was wounded. He got 2 Bronze Stars and a Purple Heart. After military, he returned to St. Louis, started an insurance agency, real estate, tax prep business, married, raised 3 children. The Post-Dispatch featured stories of honor and chronicled his story also in a book, Victory Through Valor, is talking about his story as well. The reason I'm spending so much time on this is that Staff Sergeant Gans, the first time I met him, was through the meeting at the MAC every year, the annual Army-Navy game. Jim Nauman with Boeing and others pull together those who want to come support and watch the Army-Navy game on TV and support their side. I've often seen Lieutenant Colonel Griggs, who used to head up the Lambert Airport facilities there. He's Army. I'm Marine. I'm going to support the Navy, so he and I would have a little sparring. And also, every time I'd been there, there was Staff Sergeant Gans, wearing his uniform, same uniform. He could still fit in it. Short of stature, but big of heart and courage, believe me. And in every one of those events, he would stand to make a little presentation or just to be acknowledged. He'd be standing. We, of course, did not have it in 21 because of the COVID outbreak underway. We did just have it this last November again. And I made a point to take my grandson and his stepbrother to see the event and mainly to introduce them to Staff Sergeant Gans. And I'm glad I did. This time he was not standing. He was in his full uniform, but he was in a wheelchair. His health had worsened over the recent days. Reports that the health had gotten worse. Born April 1923, fought in the Battle of the Bulge, passed away Feb 5, 3 days ago. Just a couple of months short of turning 100. For those in that St. Louis area that want to pay respects, services being held at the Schrader Funeral Home in Baldwin, Missouri, Friday. 1600 to 2000. Those of you who know military time, otherwise I'll just tell you from count on 4 to 10 or 4 to 8. Keep him and his family in your prayers. They are going to be doing the Schrader Funeral Home. Apparently we'll put up a live stream if you can't make it. So you can check with them on details for that. In the next segment, I've got two more stories about vets I want to share with you. One's really good and one is atrocious. Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA.
So I was telling you the story in the last segment about Staff Sergeant William Gene Gans, who passed away just 2 months shy of his 100th birthday, who had fought at the Battle of the Bulge. There's another World War II vet, Orland Phillips in Virginia. Just this last Saturday, celebrate his 103rd birthday. And a local station there had encouraged folks to send letters to him. And apparently he got more than 1,000 letters. And he says, I haven't gotten any from Hawaii or Alaska yet, but I got them from everywhere else. And kind of laughing, and he said, I've been opening all the cards, reading every one of them. A bunch of second graders also sent all of them to him. That's nice to show the appreciation for a veteran and what they contributed. I have to contrast that, though, with the story of a text message I got from a friend yesterday. She shared it with several others. I'm not going to get any names into it. But her father, World War II vet, I think World War II, maybe Vietnam. I could be wrong about that. Vietnam, I think it's Vietnam. But militarily handicapped. Once a month, he and his wife visit a casino near their house and park in an area marked handicapped military vets. There's the handicapped parking, and then there's handicapped military vets. I don't know how many spaces are available, but he certainly has a right to use it. And they spend the night there and then leave the next day. Sometime during the time that he's there, somebody, for whatever reason, and I would say it goes back to the fact that he's parked not just in a handicapped spot, but a military handicap spot, took a hammer to his car, beating on it repeatedly. What would make someone do something like that? You don't know the man. You don't know if it's a man or woman who's a vet that's handicapped, but what does that accomplish other than showing what a disgusting person you are and that you need help and causing damage to the man's car? What does that accomplish? Well, it does accomplish this, because the story is being told now to this audience. That kind of stuff, that's what you would call a deplorable. Not Hillary calling Trump supporters deplorable, but talking about somebody who would do something like that to a handicapped military veteran using the spot that he's certainly entitled to, and he fought for, not to have the spot, obviously, but fought for the freedom of people in this country. and whatever he did at that point. In contrast to that, going one step deeper, I got an email, or rather a listener writing at Larry Connors USA Facebook. You know, you can always add your comments. These programs are put up as a podcast when we finish. And a lot of folks who don't get to hear them live then end up hearing them at that point, and then they add some comments. Or sometimes they add comments while we're on the air, and some add comments later. But one named Jerry, if you go to Larry Connors USA Facebook, you'll see it. He said, folks, I love my kids, and I think they are the best kids in the world. But looking out over America, I have never been more terrified of turning this country over to the next generation as I am right now. I have never been more terrified of turning this country over to the next generation as I am right now. Now, my response to him was, parents like you will make sure that the next generation lives up to the standard that's been set. And we all fall short of what many did. I mean, think about World War II and Pearl Harbor and those young men, 18, 19, some lying about their age so they could get in, defending this country, paying with their lives, limbs, forever trauma. There was no PTSD then, not classified as such. They were the greatest generation, as Tom Brokaw said in his book, and I agree, but this is still a good generation we have now and the coming generation. If we help them understand the value what they have in this country and the freedoms and the democracy, that we are a city on the hill with a beacon of drawing others who want to have similar lives. And we invite them legally. And we defend their right, even when they're wrong. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.